Dershowitz is a Brooklyn native who's been hailed as one of the most distinguished defenders of individual rights. Alan is a graduate of Brooklyn College and Yale Law School. He joined the Harvard Law School faculty at age 25, and at age 28, became the youngest full professor of law in its history. He's held the Felix Frankfurter Professorship there from 1993 until his retirement in December 2013. While he is known for defending clients such as Anatoly Sharansky, Glazvan Bulo, O.J. Simpson, Michael Milken, and Mike Tyson, Allen's represented numerous indigent defendants and took half of his cases pro bono. Allen has written more than 1,000 articles in magazines, newspapers, journals, including the New York Times Magazine, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, the Harvard Law Review, the Yale Law Journal, and the Huffington Post. He's the author of 30 fiction and nonfiction works with a worldwide audience, including Chutzpah, a number one bestseller, and Reversal of Fortune, which was made into an Academy Award-winning film. In addition to his books, he's written, taught, and lectured about history, philosophy, psychology, literature, mathematics, theology, music, sports, and delicatessens. Allen has been the recipient of numerous academic and civic awards, including a Guggenheim Fellowship for his work on human rights. Welcome, Allen. It's wonderful to have you with us on the Book Report.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Why do Jews make, to quote you, darn good lawyers?
Well, we have so much practice. You know, they've been accusing Jews of everything since they claimed we killed Jesus, we poisoned the wells, you know, we were spies, Dreyfus, we were murderers. So Jews have always need to have good defense attorneys. And also, we're an argumentative people. God called us the stiff-necked people. Abraham, the patriarch of the Jewish faith, argues with God literally the day he meets him, and it hasn't stopped.
Why a book about Abraham now?
Well, you know, I'm reaching the end of my career. I'm now 77 years old. I've been practicing law for over 50 years. I've always been obsessed with Abraham because I studied him when I was a kid in yeshiva, in Jewish parochial school, and I was so amazed that he argued with God. And my name in Hebrew is Abraham, Abraham. And so I've always had an identity with Abraham. And now I wanted to reflect back on lawyers, on the two sources of my inspiration. I grew up religiously, and I grew up as somebody who cared deeply about civil liberties. And so Abraham merges those two principles.
My Hebrew name is Sarah.
So you're my wife or my sister, depending. Abraham tells the Pharaoh that Sarah is his sister.
Abraham is ordered to sacrifice his son Isaac. And you quote Bob Dylan here, God said to Abraham, kill me a son. Abe says, man, you must be putting me on. What is your lawyerly interpretation of Abraham's act of faith?
Well, I have a unique interpretation. I've never seen it in any of the other sources. Most of the sources say that God was testing Abraham to see if he was a man of faith. I think Abraham was testing God to see if this is the God he wanted. Remember, in those days, you could pick and choose your gods. There was not only one. Abraham is the founder of monotheism, but he grows up in a polytheistic culture. And he says, if this God is really going to make me kill my innocent son, I don't want to have anything to do with him. And he controls the situation. He would not have plunged the knife into Isaac. He was waiting. It was a game of theological chicken.
And then the second half of the book has what you would call profiles or case studies. Talk about some of your favorites that you wrote about.
Well, my favorite is not a Jewish lawyer, a man named Jan Karski, who was a Catholic lawyer in Poland, who decided that his life work was to try to save the Jews from the Holocaust. And he goes into death camps and observes everything and then comes to America and tries to meet with Franklin Roosevelt, who's the president. But Felix Frankfurter, who was a Jewish lawyer, refused to allow him to meet with the president. And so here you have a Catholic lawyer who is doing more to protect the Jews than a Jewish lawyer.
Might you write more about him?
I will, and I've already written about him in the past, and I'm trying to bring him more to the attention of people. I'm trying to create a lectureship in his honor to be given every year by a lawyer who did something that risked his own life to save other people.
How did you come to represent Anatole Sharansky?
Well, his wife and his mother called me when he was arrested, and I represented him for more than 8 years without having met him. He was in prison. He didn't even know I was his lawyer. I was working day and night to free him, and he didn't even know it. There's this new movie out now called Bridge of Spies, and it talks about a man named Wolfgang Vogel, who helped free the spy in that movie. I also dealt with the same man. He's a real person, and he helped negotiate the trade that allowed Anatoly Sharansky to be released and to go to Israel.
When you finally met, what was that like?
Oh, it was amazing. He threw his arms around me and whispered the Hebrew prayer, Baruch Matir Asurim, blessed are those who free the imprisoned. It was the biggest fee I ever got in my life. He paid me nothing, but I've never had a more gratifying moment in my legal profession.
We're speaking with Alan Dershowitz on The Book Report. You've been called the top lawyer of the last resort. Do you embrace that title?
Yeah. I mean, I'm the lawyer that they go to when they've lost hope, when they've given up on other lawyers, when it looks like the string has run out. And I've had, fortunately, a very high rate of success in helping people on appeals after they've been convicted.
You've commented that Ted Cruz was among the smartest students you ever taught at Harvard Law and a brilliant debater. How would you rate his debate skills in the recent round of Republican candidate debates?
Well, I think he's done quite well. That doesn't mean I'd vote for him for president. As I've said when I introduced him once, he's a great senator, and that's where he ought to remain. Look, I'm a liberal Democrat, and so I like Ted. I admire him. I even sent him like $100, because I do that to all of my students who are running for office, whether I agree with them or not. But we need one Ted Cruz in the Senate. Not too many, but one Ted Cruz in the Senate.
Can you tell us about one or two of your other students at Harvard who went on to be national figures?
Well, Elliot Spitzer was one of my best research assistants, and everything, all the trouble he got into was my fault, because he used to work so hard. I said to him one day, Elliot, go out, do something, have fun.
In researching your biography, I learned that Fenway Park named a sandwich after you. Can you describe it and tell us about its creation?
Well, of course it would be a New York pastrami sandwich on rye with good mustard. And it's a thrill to have a sandwich named after me in Fenway Park. I also, on my 70th birthday, threw out the first pitch, and it was a strike. I threw a strike over home plate, and I was really thrilled. It was a high moment.
And your biography said you've written about delicatessens as well.
I did. The New York Times asked me to do an op-ed piece ranking all the New York delis, and I knew it would get me into trouble, and it got me some free sandwiches in a couple of places and some really bad service in a couple of other places.
So any final thoughts about Abraham, the book?
Well, you know, Abraham endures. He is so complicated and so interesting that the interpretations continue, and he remains relevant to this day. He remains relevant to the issue of what do we do with the Syrian refugees. He remains relevant to do we abolish capital punishment. He remains relevant to so many current issues, and that's the beauty of the Bible. It is an enduring book that we keep going back to, and every generation reads it differently.
Is there another patriarch or perhaps matriarch that you'd like to write about?
Sure. I did a trial recently of Moses, and I'm going to do one next year of David. I would like to write about Esther. She would be a great matriarch to write about. Sorry, but Sarah doesn't really make the cut. Not enough of an interesting personality. She's more of a victim than she is somebody who emerges as a real personality. But there's a shortage of matriarchs in all religions. And I think, you know, women have to stand up on their own, and the next generation of people will have to look at this generation and find their own matriarchs.
All right. Alan, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.